Brandon, how's it going, man?
Pretty good.
Thanks for coming on the show, man.
I
spoke with you, didn't I? Speak with you about getting coming to the 500 event, but you couldn't make it at the time, right?
Yeah, I couldn't make it, but Vic came out. So
yeah, no, I mean, it was such a blast. It was great, and then I know that I was talking to Dahl about possibly doing more of them and getting him out there, and then the electricians obviously busted my balls about trying to get one for them, and I was like, I'm working on it, man. It takes them a little bit of time, man.
Sure.
It's like you just know how it is. Yeah. If you could do me a favor, share your details, your information, your IG, and the website and everything, so everyone knows.
Yeah. So Modern Water Solutions, we're out of Cambridge, Ontario.
Yeah.
And our Instagram is simple, at Modern Water Solutions.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then just keep the mic a little. Yeah, no, you can just bring it closer.
Sure.
That's it, time. And so, yeah, we're at the Dahl booth here, booth number 903 at the CMPX. And it's the first time for you guys?
First time I've been out here, yeah.
Vic's
been here a couple times, and he's like, hey, you got to come out here.
Yeah, I've been like 3-4 times I've been to the CMPX show, man. Yeah. It's actually a good show.
Yeah.
I was here yesterday. I'm here today. I'm not here tomorrow, but I want to thank you. Just thanks so much for coming by and stopping by, and we'll have a conversation.
For sure. Yep.
There's nothing to be nervous about. I mean, like, basically, the idea is that like we just talk shop, and it's as simple as that. Sorry, I just got to get this going here. There we go. That's it. How long you been in the business?
So I started when I was 17.
Okay. How young are you, man?
I'm 33 now.
Okay.
I'm about to turn 34, so a couple of years now.
What's the beginning like? Where'd you, like, is it in the family or is it?
No, not at all. So, you know, my dad's from Trinidad, came over here when he was a teenager.
And what's your mom's side?
Portuguese.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah,
so, that's an interesting mix.
Yeah, but we didn't have any trades in the family, so I just kind of fell into it. I needed 4 more credits out of high school.
Okay.
And so co-op was something that I thought would fit well for me. So at the time, OYAP wasn't a thing. It was the very first year they had introduced it.
I
was kind of the pilot program for that. And so there were a couple of options. There was electrical, carpentry, plumbing. I was like, oh, sign me up for the electrical. Well, it's full. Well, I'll do the carpentry. It's full. So I kind of...
Plumbing wasn't full?
No, plumbing wasn't full. It was totally vacant, so I took the spot.
It's a different game today, though.
Yeah, they did a little differently, though, because we have OYAP students now.
Yeah.
But they come and work with us, and then they go to school.
Yeah.
Well, when they launched it, we had gone to school, did our 8 weeks of basic, and then we started working with a contractor at that time. So, you know, it would have been a little bit better to get the hands-on experience than go to school.
I agree.
If it was first time using power tools, using hand tools, 17, 18 years
old. You need a little bit of guidance at that point.
Yeah.
Were your parents supportive? Nobody in the family trade-wise, but then all of a sudden you want to get into trade.
Yeah, 100%. So my old man was like, yeah, plumbing's going to be a good gig.
Okay.
I think you're going to do well with it. I had a lot of support. Yeah.
And then how long? Okay, so you went through the whole route, then you went the apprenticeship, and all of a sudden you get in there. At what point you create Modern? At what point? How many years into it now?
So I took a break from the trade for a little bit. I went into the textile industry.
Okay.
I was working as a screen printer.
Okay.
Which was good, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of room for growth in that industry. So I came back to plumbing, finished my apprenticeship. I've actually worked with a couple people who have been on the show. Like, I did a part of my apprenticeship with Dan over at Guest.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I moved into the commercial sector afterwards, went to the union, started doing commercial work, and that was my niche. That's what I really
enjoyed. You liked it?
Yeah, that was the thing. You know, I've jumped around to a couple of different companies.
Yeah.
I think it's important to find what you like in the industry.
Of course.
Right? You can always have that conversation with the employer and say, I don't like this work, or I do like this work. Can we chase this work a little bit? But if it's not available for you, get out of the seat. Let someone else get in.
Were the employers at the time, were they engaging in those conversations, or were they just more dismissive?
Yeah, I think at the time when I was an apprentice, you know. It's a different construction time.
Yeah.
But now that I've talked to some other business owners, for sure, they want feedback from the guys. They want to know, what type of work do you want us to chase that'll keep you happy? So to come back to your point, it was probably the start of last year, Vic and I decided together we were going to open Modern Water Solutions.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then things are good?
Things are great. Yeah, things are great. They start off a little bit slow.
Yeah, because I'm always a little reluctant at first. And I love hearing from all you guys that were starting businesses during these funny years and the last few years that happened. But they become successful businesses, right?
Yeah, like anything, it's scary.
You
don't want to get out there and do it. You're worried about failure. You've already got a comfortable job. Like I said, we were both working at the union, making a pretty decent wage. You think, am I going to give up this comfort for the unknown?
But it wasn't also negativity towards the union. It's just you guys were interested in trying to do it yourself. And I've seen the same thing. I've seen the verse, right? Yeah. All of a sudden, I've seen people leave, go on their own, and it doesn't work out. And then they ended up going back, and now they're an employee working for somebody else, right?
Yeah.
And they just see it. So it's like, don't be afraid to try it. Yeah. You might fail, but you never know. You might succeed.
And that's okay. So I had a plumbing company years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it wasn't successful. And that's okay. That didn't deter me from not doing it again. It taught me a lot of lessons on maybe some things I would do differently. Yeah. And one of that is having some sort of mentorship in that process and finding a partner and someone who's on board with you. That really helped the transition going into a new company.
How is the mentorship hunting? Because I know that I've said it on the show, I've joked about it, and I know that there's a bunch of old tradespeople, mostly men. They're retired. They got this wealth of knowledge, but nobody's really approaching them. And maybe people, the younger generation, are nervous about approaching them.
Yeah, it's interesting because I see it less of a mentorship and more of a collaboration now, especially with the addition of social media. So I know you just had Aaron on. I've reached out to Aaron. I've talked to him. I've talked to Rob over at Galaxy. I've talked to a lot of these guys, and we all collaborate.
You guys are not afraid to share, man. I love it. Seriously.
Not at all. Yeah.
So this younger generation should just realize, hang on a sec, let me just reach out. What's the worst he or she's going to say? Just piss off? No, it doesn't matter. You'll find somebody that will actually want to talk to you, man.
100%. I think everyone I've reached out to has been more than accommodating. Any questions I've had, sometimes they'll take it as far as picking up a phone call. We'll be on the phone for an hour just shooting the breeze about plumbing.
Yeah, which is really cool. How did you find your partner, Vic? Like, how did you guys get along? Did you just know each other through the industry, through the commercial side first?
Yep, we knew each other in the industry.
Okay.
And then you know, you can see right away this guy's got a really good work ethic, really cares about the work that he's putting in.
Thought process was aligned. You guys were like, this is what I think, this is what I think, and you guys were going the same path.
I look at him, I was thinking I want to be more like him, and he kind of had the same idea. I want to be more like even. So we thought, let's join forces.
It's always a challenge, right? Like I've heard of horror stories of guys starting out, it works out perfectly, and then all of a sudden, I mean, it's like a marriage. Like, you just have to choose the right partner, and it could work out beautifully. There could be some ups and downs, but you just got to ride those storms, right?
Yeah, no, it's good. So in about 2 years ago, I kind of added to my career. I went back to school to join the fire service.
Okay.
And so I'm currently employed full-time as a firefighter as well.
Okay.
And I find that Vic picks up a lot of the back-end business side of things, and then in the time off, we're working together, crushing out jobs.
Man, like, you realize there's 7 days a week, right? And like, there's like, how are you juggling all these things now, man?
It's not, I don't look at it as a juggle, it's a balance.
Okay, right? All right.
I don't pick or choose between one or the other. I love the trade, I love the service, and I do both of those things together. I know that a lot of guys come out of the fire service, they retire,
and then they get into construction.
Yes. Well, now I've taken the trade to the fire service, and there's a lot of valuable skills that I've been able to bring there from, doing this since I was 17.
Was it a challenge to get into the fire side of things? Like, because there's always a waiting, there's a huge demand, right?
It's very competitive.
Okay.
But you have to ask yourself, at what level are you competing at? Right? So I really dialed myself in and made sure that I was competing at the highest level to find myself be successful in that journey.
So what are you guys thinking now modern is going to look like down the line here? Like, obviously you guys are probably having conversations on what our thought process is, where we want to go, what do we want to track, what kind of work we want to do, things like that, right?
Yeah, so we've been dialing into the water treatment side of things. We really like that.
Really?
Rural well water systems, as well as residential municipal water systems. We like treating water. There's something really satisfying about taking water that's no good coming out of the ground, turn into clean drinking water.
How are those conversations with government regarding that matter? Because in my opinion, government's not doing anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I hear a lot of feedback about people not being happy with the amount of chlorine that's in the water, the amount of fluoride that's in the water, not having a say in that. We don't really work in conjunction with government in that regard.
You can't. Well, they don't have a dialogue. That's the problem.
For sure.
But they should.
We can treat those things. You know, they have units now. They're called Chlorosoft water softeners to help remove some of that chlorine. And then, you know, we're all pretty familiar with reverse osmosis systems at this point.
Yeah.
If you want that.
So I just basically want you to say that it's worth it. Basically, if you're a homeowner.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done a couple of them for homeowners, and they brought it up, and they got me the unit. They told me exactly. They gave me some of the knowledge. But then I looked towards my plumber about it.
Yeah.
I was going, dude, I don't know anything about this. Please educate me about it.
You know, I would ask.
And I'm a fan of it, man.
Yeah. How much chlorine are you happy drinking?
That's the problem, is that it doesn't matter what you're drinking, consuming, but it's also the factor of bathe in.
For sure. Yeah.
Skin's a sponge. Yeah. It's a living organism. So it you'll get into your system somehow, right?
Yeah, we find that. So I had moved from Hamilton, which has great water, and then I moved to Brantford, which doesn't have such good water. And then all my kids in the shower, skin's breaking out, really bad eczema. And so,
wow.
Yeah, adding a water
softener.
So you
see it.
Of course, yeah.
And you saw a change from the water softener, right?
Yeah, adding water softener.
I want tradespeople to understand that there's opportunities here. If you're a plumbing business or what have you, that you might want to consider this as another option that you offer to your clients, right?
Of course. The scope of plumbing is so big. You know, you've had a lot of plumbers on the show. Residential service, commercial service, water treatment, high-rise, new construction. It's endless, right? It's a big umbrella. Find that niche that you want to be good at and try and master that. So Vic and I go for ongoing training all the time.
For the treatment.
For water treatment.
Yep. Is it easy to find? Is it out there?
Yeah, it's out there. It's easy to find. Yep.
All right. So right off the bat, you're saying the softener and the reverse osmosis is what homeowners should be considering, right?
Yeah. You know, some people kind of look down on the reverse osmosis because it can take some of the positive minerals out that you don't want.
Yeah.
But, you know, people who really want that pure water to drink, you know, especially if you're a coffee connoisseur and you want that pure flavor, yeah, reverse osmosis is the way to go.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Brandon. I'm having conversations about the softener. I'm having conversations about the reverse osmosis. And I know right now you tell me, but reverse, like, can you only do it per sink, per application, or can you do it at the whole house?
They have whole house systems.
But then it starts to get ridiculously
be a little expensive.
And then also just the maintenance of the filters and everything like that, right?
Yeah, it could be intrusive on space, right? Depends on the size of the mechanical room that we have as well.
Okay.
Point of use is...
But at least it's worth a conversation, like just discuss things and all that. Now, softener-wise, price-wise, what are we talking about here? If you get an average home and you got, whatever, three bathrooms are going on, like, what cost-wise were you talking about here?
Yeah, you know, pretty average price, around $15,000 to $2,000 installed. It depends on
and then
the
your
usage.
Monthly or whatever it is, depending on how harsh the water is.
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of questions about that. And, you know, the maintenance that comes with it. I just tell people, you take your garbage out every Friday, just grab another bag. It's a bag of salt and throw
same
it in.
Same thing.
It might be every week. Could be biweekly. It's a case-by-case basis based on the hardness of your water.
So why can't we get the government to give us better drinking water?
So that's interesting. I 2 weeks ago, I did a tour of the water treatment facility where I'm at. It's incredibly expensive to remove the hardness out of the water. So a lot of that falls back onto the homeowner.
That's why, right?
Yeah, it's a constant.
And so it's a constant thing that we see it in all the fixtures, right? We constantly are seeing the fixtures. You're seeing the calcium built up.
Yep.
Like we educate homeowners on what can be done, those quick fixes. You can do certain things. The vinegar I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
So those kinds of details. And I still do it to this day. I totally do it. And it works, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many kettles I burned out of. You know, we're big tea drinkers in my house. And I had to get rid of my Nespresso because it was destroyed by the hardness. And
that's when
I made the shift. So it's time for a water softener. And yeah, Vic and I had that chat about water treatment in general and thought, yeah, this is where we want to dive
into. I think it's a growing market. I think more and more plumbers should consider it. And I think more and more homeowners should definitely be finding the right information. And when I say that, I'm not talking just Google library. You know what I mean? I think you should be talking to the tradespeople.
Yeah, and you know, test your water. Get it tested.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
We offer that too. So we come out to site and we'll test your water right on site. We don't want to take it in a bottle and send it somewhere and it sits around on a shelf and
in a plastic
bottle
on the dash of the car. Yeah. Okay.
Or some of these things are gases that are in the water and they evaporate by the time it gets they get around to being tested. So if we can come to site and test it right away from you, we'll give you a digital reading of what's in your water and there's no guesswork.
What's more damaging? This is just for myself. I'm just trying to think of is the harshness of our water. I guess it depends on the municipality, right? Is it harder on copper? Is it harder on PEX? Or what's it? It doesn't matter.
That's a good question. I honestly don't know.
Like I know in Hamilton, you know, you guys still have older homes in that area that are what is it, galvanized pipe, right?
Yeah, still see some galv.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You might see a little bit a buildup on the inside of the walls of the galv, and then the inside diameter of your pipe is shot. Your pressure's no good. You're wondering what's happening. Now we're in there opening up your walls, right?
So how are you going to try to, I mean, is this a battle for you guys to tackle with the government, or is it, because it doesn't seem like the government's really all that interested in tackling this. I don't think it's a concern from them. They have their million parts per whatever it is that it's under. So basically in their scope, whatever, and they wrote that scope, it's perfectly fine to drink.
Yeah, they have bathe in. They have a few outlines on there. They have they call it TDS readings, like a total dissolvable solvents. It's got a, I don't know what the number is. I think it's under 500, and then they can wipe their hands and say water's good to drink from that point. The issue that we kind of see is once you soften the water, that TDS number tends to go above the 500. So that's where we can start looking at getting a reverse osmosis to bring that number.
And that's
back
what
down.
I recently brought up is like it's almost like the testing that they're doing is a false test because they're the way it's been treated. They're hiding or they're masking certain real tests, right? The results, I mean.
Sure.
Which is not what you want, right? But it, like homeowners, we just take water for granted, man.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, you open up the tap and it's there for you, right? We're not really asking too many questions after that. But like I say, it's easy enough to do a water test and find out what's in your water.
And then find out first of all, right? Yeah. Are you also allowed to reach out to the municipality and ask them? Or will they voluntarily give you that information?
I think that that information is publicly available if you look for it.
If you look for it, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, what else you guys got going on? Well, you're also doing more than
so right
just
now we're
there.
Yeah, we're working on a 17-story high rise as well. So yeah, water treatment's something fun that we do, but we like getting nitty and gritty as well. We still do lots of residential service, residential construction, and now we're into the high rise market as
well. How many employees you guys got?
Right now we have 3, and then we've got a bookkeeper that works for us.
Okay.
So that's a big change that we've had is finding systems to put in place to take a little bit less off of my partner and I.
Yeah. But you guys are still doing the work, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But at some point you both realize that you're going to stop doing the work and you guys are going to be focusing on the future of the company.
For sure.
It has to, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'll always love being on the tools, right? But at some point, if you want the company to grow, you're going to have to be able to step back. And I think a lot of people have a hard time accepting that and wanting or being able to do that.
What's the reluctance you think? You think they're just nervous that they can't find somebody that's just as good as you kind of mentality, which is all bullshit, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's a trust thing, right? You want to trust that someone's going to care for your company and do the same type of work that you're going to do. But that's a responsibility of the company owner to be vetting those individuals before they bring them onto the team, right?
How lucky were you guys finding your employees, the ones that you guys work in?
Oh, we're pretty good. These are people who we've actually worked with in the past and who we've known. Really responsible individuals, care about their work, a lot of pride. So, yeah.
And they went through the same apprenticeship kind of system, or they went through the OEAP program, or?
Yeah, so we actually have a co-op student who's in the OEAP program right now. Then we've got a fourth-year apprentice, so we're finishing off his apprenticeship for him, and we've got a licensed guy working with us as well. And then we've got our bookkeeper who kind of manages all the back end for us.
Yeah. What's the younger generation looking at? Like, when they come to you guys and they start talking about the specific trade, what's their perception and what's reality?
Yeah, so there's been a big shift there because when I started, a lot of people were turning their nose up at the idea of me being a plumber when I was 17 or 18. It's a gross thing. But now,
I can see it. It's different.
Now we're seeing with social media that it's cool. It's cool to be in the trades and it's nitty and it's gritty. And so, you know, we've got this 16-year-old co-op student who's excited to come to work every day. He's already posting some of the work that he's putting up on his social media. The only negative that I could kind of point out is there's a little bit of impatience. They almost want to be licensed right away, right?
They don't realize that there's value in that growth.
I remember being a fifth year and being terrified. Yeah. I didn't want to write my ticket. I felt like I wasn't ready yet.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of value in, waiting out that process.
But it's hard for them to understand that value. Even me, man, I'm in my 50s, and sometimes I get impatient on certain things. But then I kind of talk to myself, and I just say, there's value in that process. There's value in that waiting, just waiting for the calmness, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's comfortable being an apprentice too, right? There's not so much expectation on you.
That's an interesting point. Like the responsibility that's going to be dropped on you the moment that you get licensed, right?
As soon as you get your ticket, the expectations are going to go a little bit higher. And I think that's where I was a little hesitant at being a fifth year, that kind of fear of making that jump to being a licensed plumber and having all that responsibility and expectation.
But maybe change the word about expectation into more of a word of like opportunity, the challenges that you're going to get now.
I agree with you.
To grow, right? Yeah. So you're going to be able to have conversations with other tradespeople of more skill, educating you on other possibilities and opportunities, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's like. Don't look at the fear, embrace the opportunity instead, right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
But I get it. I mean, it's like I can't even imagine myself being a late teen, early 20s, getting on a job site for the very first time, how scared shitless I would be.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be pretty intimidating, right? For the kids of today, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is.
Was the phone's ringing?
Phone's ringing.
No, don't worry about it, man. Yeah. It's all good. Like, the show's going on, things are going on. It's all important, man. So.
Yeah. No, I tip my hat to the guys who are getting into it young. You know, getting licensed at 22, 23 years old, making a six-figure salary. It's not too bad of a lifestyle.
Yeah. It's a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. Like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity there, but also finding the right jobs. And then you also got to think about business as well. Like, when you start pulling the trigger about when I want to become a business owner now.
Yeah.
That's a different ballgame at that point.
Yeah, I think that's something that you learn along the way right now, right? Because we're still pretty young in our business, right? We're going into our second year. Things are great, but there's still a lot of growth to be had.
Are you seeing more of the younger generation wanting to run their own ships a lot sooner too?
Definitely.
Really?
Definitely. And I think you see
Are you guys educating them, telling them, listen, you might get screwed over. You might not get paid on a job. You might take on too much responsibility. And then you're going to have to deal with the legal side of crap, right?
Yeah, I've had that conversation with people on Instagram, some eager apprentices who want to start their companies a little bit early, and just reminding them, you know, sets and reps, let's get through this.
I like that, sets and reps,
Yeah, learn the ropes, do it 100 times, and then get out there and try it on your own.
Because you want to, I tell the younger generation, make smaller mistakes than I did, because then you'll get a lot further longer. Right. Yeah. Like you'll just, because you're going to make mistakes. It doesn't matter who you are. You're still going to, there's no plumber, no trade that's going to be perfect and get it hit out right out of the park and all of a sudden have a perfect game, perfect job, perfect business, perfect everything. It doesn't exist, man.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, when I had that first business, it didn't go as well as I thought. It was probably because I tried to start a little bit too early. I didn't have all the experience that I should have had. I was a little bit too eager to get into it. So.
Are you guys doing your own swag because you come from the silk screen side of the business or what?
Yeah,
probably or what?
Yeah, we're definitely doing our own swag. I've got a little bit on right now, actually. Yeah.
Well, because you've seen it on social media. Like, this is the one thing I love, that gone are the days of the magnetic sign on the side of the truck. Like, that doesn't exist in today's tradesperson's world.
Yeah.
Like, you probably were going to pass by over the social hub there. And it's just like, there's lots of construction podcasts out there. There's lots of influencers out there. There's a lot of people sharing some really valuable insight in the industry, how to market themselves, how to position themselves, how to learn better things, how to advance, you know, marketing-wise, but also career-wise, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to see all this.
And we've noticed that as well. So we work with a digital marketing company now. We work with DigiHype out of Cambridge. And
cool.
They've been helping us out in terms of managing our Instagram accounts and new website. We work with a silkscreen shop that also does some design. So they've wrapped some vehicles for us, wrapped our trailers for us. Yeah, like you say, there's more to it than just...
There's value in doing all of that, right?
Of course there is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did it years ago. I was one of the first guys that was doing it. And it's just like that separation of how to look at marketing and construction, it goes tenfold. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It actually just puts you in a different spot, right? I was just like... Don't worry. She just yells for a little bit. But I mean, I like that these kids are looking at innovative and new things. And I always like seeing new things. And it was just funny. Yesterday, I see a video from Versa Homes out west in Vancouver, Felipe. And all of a sudden, I see the video and I'm like, I love the fucking, like, the video's great. Solid video. And I send him a message. He goes, good. He goes, anything you want to add or change, Manny? I respect your opinion. I was going, dude, I wouldn't change a single thing on that. That's actually bang on perfect. So I'm enjoying being a spectator now. Like, I used to be a contributor, and now I'm just a spectator, and I'm enjoying seeing a whole new crop of really talented people that are not just skilled in the trade that they do, but skilled in the marketing and consumer messaging that they're building.
Yeah, and it's cool to see. There's a lot of engagement on Instagram. Yeah. Like, I never would have thought that people would enjoy people putting in bathtubs, putting in toilets. And you look at some of the views on these videos, there's tens of thousands of them. Thinking, really, people want to watch what we're doing?
Well, I like talking to homeowners sometimes, and they're like, I tell them how many shows I've done and how many conversations I've had with how many tradespeople I've had, and I'm like, you just talk about construction? I was like, yeah. And he goes, how do you talk about construction for so long? I'm like, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Like, there's more to talk about when it comes to construction. There's so many details in construction, it's insane, that I love it. Like, you can just take a valve or something. You can take anything. And you can make it. I've told everybody in the industry, when you're positioning yourself marketing wise, everything you do, doesn't matter how much you think it's mundane or whatever, has a story, beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
Take your product. If that's your coffee in the morning, that's your tea in the morning. It's not how you put your work boots on. It's not how you work your work, how you organize your van, anything like that. Story, beginning, middle, and end. Every single thing. How long that story is, that's a different question.
Yeah.
But you get to decide on that story. So it's like there's value in that. So don't take for granted what you're building, because people are paying attention too. That's the nice thing about it.
Yeah.
The world's a lot smaller now.
Like, for sure it is, yeah.
We have people that have flown in to come to the show here. You've got people that have flown in all over the country here coming here. You guys are driving in from Cambridge. Lots of people are driving in from that area, Niagara area, all kinds of stuff like that. Like, the connectivity is a lot tighter nowadays. That's what I like about it. So you can meet people that you've been DMing for years, and all of a sudden finally meet them for the first time, and you're like, you feel as if you've spoken to this person in person several times already.
Yeah, and that's what I mean when, you know, going back to working in conjunction with other people, when you're looking at mentors, it's a lot easier now to collab in that sense,
yeah.
Right? I can just reach out to someone on Instagram, and they're going to give me feedback on what they're doing, what type of work they're doing. Are you slow right now as well, or is it just me, right? So...
And it's good business networking at that point.
Of course, yeah.
What I'm trying to figure out is that I know you plumbers, electricians, HVAC, you guys are really good at this, but there's other trades that are not good at this. Finished carpentry is not good at this. Painters are not necessarily good at this.
You mean like hoarding information?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to share. And I'm like...
Why do you think that is?
Well, when it goes to the trim carpenters, I think that they have the best tips. And they don't want to share those tips because then they'll lose a job out to somebody else if they get that tip, right? And I'm like, you're getting work. You really think you're getting work based on your tips? Like,
yeah.
That's the only reason, sole reason why you get work? No, you guys have a company culture. You have a way you approach business. You have a way you approach clients. You have a way, how you do your business on site, off site. Like, the tips are part of it. But it's not the sole reason why I've hired you, right? I used to look at this when I was hiring subs, when I finally said at the early years of my construction career, I was like, I'm done doing everything. I'm like, I'm done with this. I'm going to start subbing out everything now, right? And I would just have a conversation with somebody. And it was just like, it was really simple. I was hiring the person and the personality more than I was the skill. The skill you were bringing to the table, and you had to prove yourself, and then sure enough, they did. There's only a handful of guys that didn't prove themselves, but... It was the personality that I was buying into.
Sure, yeah. I agree with that. With the personality, customer relations, I would say the easiest part of running the whole plumbing gig is the plumbing itself.
Yes.
Right?
Well, for you skilled people, right?
Yeah, the plumbing's not hard. But the customer relations, making that good impression with the client, being available to them, answering emails, answering phones. There's a lot of value when someone calls you and you pick up their phone, your phone, and it doesn't go to voicemail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and that's, well, I mean, I guess this generation, they're learning that. Because I know that part of my generation, and maybe even the generation before me, they wouldn't want to deal with the phone. But then also, it's almost kind of gone full circle now. You're getting a lot of the younger kids. They're all about messaging and DMing and not having a verbal conversation, which is kind of shooting themselves in the foot. They need to start answering the phone and just have that conversation. Just discuss that point that customer, sub, GC, anybody, supplier wants to ask you a question. Like, it's just, it's refreshing at the point too, right?
Yeah. Have you noticed there's a big age gap on site? There seems to be.
There's a huge.
You know, I'm.
The mid to late 30s to the mid to late 40s, they're invisible.
Yeah. So
they're not there.
At 33, I'll walk onto a job site and be the youngest guy there. Yeah.
And then the next older person that you might see will
late
probably
50s.
Be, yeah.
Yeah, late 50s.
That center, and all I can kind of contribute to that thought process is they got out of the game.
Yeah.
So that person that was in their mid-30s, late 30s, whatever, probably had enough bad situations, maybe didn't have the right mentor, and they just said, you know what, I'm done, I'm tapped out, I'm going to get the hell out of here, right? And then they left. And then they were probably thinking, well, do I really want to be doing the same thing in my 50s and I don't want to be fighting this battle, right? Versus, I think that there's opportunities where you can listen to other people, like you mentioned, Aaron, you can listen to other people that they're doing things differently.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't tell me that the industry is broken. It's not. It's maybe the way you're doing it is broken, but the industry is not broken. There's plenty of opportunity out there, man.
Yeah. I think too with that age gap, you also see there's not a lot of new people coming into the trade. So even though it looks cool on social media, we're not seeing enough people come in. We're spread pretty thin right now.
I'm going as far as saying that they're not coming in, but they're not staying in either.
Right.
Right. And it's like, I think anybody who's listened to my show and listens to or pays attention to my posts or whatever, I'm not huge on the influencing side of the industry, because for some strange reason, you get a lot of influencers. Doesn't matter what trade it is. They still want to retain that metal or badge of honor of being a tradesperson. And I'm like, listen, the moment that you're an influencer more than you are a tradesperson, you might as well just accept the fact that you're an influencer and you're no longer a tradesperson.
Sure.
Like the last GC job that I did was last year at the start of last year. I don't consider myself a GC anymore. I consider myself a podcast host. I consider myself a content creation. I created a platform for people to talk about this industry.
Right.
And I'm proudly taking that on, right? But I don't turn around and go, listen, I'm a GC and I'm doing this project and that project. If I was, I'd be doing that, but I'm not. But for this influencing world, they're having a hard time letting go of that. It's almost like they feel they need to still have that one foot in there.
Yeah, the question is if you want to be an influencer, that's great. But
do it.
What's paying the bills? Because at what point do you have to be successful as an influencer that you can walk away from your trades career and say, I've got enough income to support myself?
Well, it's like, Brent, it's the same thing with construction. Like, you work for somebody, you get started, you work for commercial high rise, you're doing well, you've got steady work, you try to pull the trigger and you go on your own, you build a business and you get out there. Now you start realizing, hey man, there's a lot of hidden costs that I didn't realize. And we're not making as much money. Yeah. We're struggling through, but then we got a nice big contract. Now we're making money. And so you got to keep on figuring that I can continue growing this business. Influencers, sure, you can start getting a lot of money coming in. You can start getting a lot of followers, and all of a sudden you can start commanding $1,000 to do a single post for everybody. But you also got to understand the marketing side of the industry. These brands that are attached to influencers, they're also trying to understand the quantification attached to those influencing. So I've always had this, I came from film and I came from marketing commercials way before construction. I used to always have constant conversations with brands. Can you tell me how many people bought your product because you spent this much money on your marketing? And that number doesn't exist. So it's the same thing with the influencing side of the business here in the industry. It's like, all right, fine. You got 500,000 followers and you got 1,000 people that gave you a like on this post. Tell me how many people bought that product that you just endorsed.
Yeah.
You can't give me that data, eh?
Yeah.
You can't specifically tell me that number.
Yeah.
And that number is not 1,000.
Yeah.
So they paid $1,000 for that post. Did they sell a tool? Did they sell a product? We don't know. So they're just saturating the marketing machine. But I know from experience with advertising, these brands are getting savvy to it where they have accountability. So they have to go back to the bean counters and go, listen, we spent X amount on influencers and we sold this many products this year. This was the direct tie to the influencers. We assume that they sold, but we're not exactly sure. Those numbers are not jiving these days.
Right, unless you're checking out with some sort of promo code or tracking.
Which they're not really doing it because they can't really justify their labor force on that end to kind of quantify those numbers, right? So I think right now, the way I attribute to influencers in construction industry, because they relate to the game compared to all kinds of other influencers and all kinds of other social platforms, it's a dartboard.
Sure.
And the brands are just throwing all the darts right on there, and occasionally one or two hit bullseye. And you get a lot of likes, you get a lot of fucking comments and all kinds of shit. But I keep on asking them, how many did you sell?
Yeah.
How many did you sell?
Don't know.
So if you can't tell me that number, then it's going to be like, if you're a tradesperson, now you got a business, you're grown. Are you going to start looking at influencers to start endorsing your product? You're going to start looking at, well, I have to quantify this now, right? So it's an interesting dilemma to be put yourself. So that's why I started thinking that there might be an expiration date on influencers when there's never really an expiration date on tradespeople.
Right.
There's a physical expiration date if you batter and beat your body up to a certain point, but you kind of understand when you first got into the game why certain tradespeople, older, more experienced ones, walked a certain way. They never ran. They never tried to lift everything on their own. They never did any of that stuff because they knew that we had a crew on site. We had more bodies on there. You can always grab the other end of something, right? So they wanted longevity.
Yeah, that's another shift that I've seen in the trade since I started back in 2007, that there's a little bit more awareness of health, safety, 100%. Mental health.
Hearing, breathing. As well.
Yep. Hearing's a big one. So, I mean, the big things for us on job site, safety glasses, mask. You know, when we're cutting that cast and we're working with plastics, who knows what's in there? All I know is that night, if you're not wearing that mask, you're not feeling too good in your chest, right?
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that shift is happening and we're having the conversation about it as well, right?
We still need a little bit more. It's nice to see that the lids are coming back on. Lids are not really a conversation these days. Obviously, everyone's got PPE with the boots and everything like that. I'm telling people, get rid of the boots a lot sooner than you think. because your feet are going to get used to them a lot faster than what they really are. And there's a far greater expiration date on those boots, right?
Yeah.
So I know it's hard to like look at a pair of boots and there's no tear marks, there's no holes, there's no steel toe exposed. That was the classic one, right? Like, but that boot is not doing any justice to your foot. And everyone, I tell all the young kids, man, like you got like back problems, you got shoulder problems. I'll tell you right now, let me see your footwear.
Yeah.
If you got shoes that you've been wearing for 2-3 years on the job site, then that's where your shoulder pain is coming from. It's from your feet.
For sure. And then just your feet and your steel-toe boots being squeezed up together. I've had foot surgery twice now just from my feet being so snug together.
And round there, yeah, right? Because it's not a natural movement.
Yeah.
It's a necessary movement on a job site, right? So that's important. But I'm like, I know it's hard. You spend $200 on a pair of boots and all of a sudden 6 months down the line, you got to get rid of them and get another pair.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, like... It's night and day difference. There was times that I was on site, I would switch. I would get two pairs all the time. I would switch them at lunchtime.
Oh, yeah.
So I would switch them because your day starts, right? Your foot's a certain way. In the morning, you get your day started. You're working. Now you're walking for 5 hours in the start of the day. And all of a sudden, take them off and put on another pair, right? And then all of a sudden, you start your day again on your feet.
Sure. That's a good idea.
I'm telling you, it works.
I've never done that. I think I'll try it.
It totally works.
I've been a big insole guy. Big advocate of having
that. That's huge, too.
I love that. It's a night and day difference. Like you say, on the lower back, shoulders. Yeah.
Well, there's lots of, like, this is, and I want the kids to understand, like, you get into the whole world of, like, plantar fasciitis and whatever.
It's a fancy word I can never say.
I know. It's just like a difficult word to say, right? Am I in the wrong spot or what? No? Sorry. the younger generation dismisses it.
Of course. And I used to do the same thing too, though.
Rotary cuff. Yeah. They dismiss all these little things. Yep. They think they're supermen and women, right? Yep. And I'm like, don't dismiss it. Your body and you have an ache. You have an ache because your body's trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
You need to figure out why that ache is happening, right? It ain't because you just were doing a job and you're drilling so many holes to get certain things done. It wasn't solely because of that. It could have been how you were doing it.
Yeah.
And now you put your body in a certain position, and now this could go on for months, man.
Sure.
So I want the kids to be more aware of that kind of stuff.
That and the mental health aspect as well.
Huge. You know,
we got a tough job. You're waking up early in the morning. You're working under all conditions, whether it's hot, cold, rainy, a lot of physical labor at work. But I am seeing now there's a lot of people think it's cool to be in the gym at a young age, right? So keeping your nutrition in check, exercise, finding those good hobbies, and getting the sleep that you need. You know, those are the four pillars of mental health. And if we can keep those in check, we can just operate a little bit more optimally.
It's the smokers, though, I have a problem. I always had problems with driving by a hospital and seeing doctors or nurses smoking outside. Right
now it's the thumb suckers, right? The little vape. I don't know what you call them.
I thought vape was done. I haven't seen that in a while, man.
I see a lot of guys on that. I don't know. I don't know what you call them.
I don't even like it. It's just like when I first read about it, I was like, it's just, let me get it straight. It's just all chemicals. And you're just like right into your system. Okay, I don't want to do this. This doesn't make sense.
But that's another shift too, right? Don't see so much smoking in the trades anymore. I think we know the health hazards that are associated with that at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you actually bring up a good point, Brendan. It's like you're seeing a lot more kids making their lunches, making their food. They're not doing the Uber Eats anymore. Yes. They're not. It's not like they're still there. It's not always McDonald's. It's not always like that kind of crap, right? They're seeing that they'll get more energy and they'll last longer during the day and they'll feel better the next day if they're eating healthier.
Yeah, it all starts in the kitchen, right? 90% of your health is what you're eating, but if you can spend a little bit of time in the gym as well, you know, that goes a long way.
Well, the earlier you do it, the longer you'll last later on. It gets. I tell all the trades, there's milestones. Once you cross 30, once you cross 40, once you cross 50, your body dramatically changes.
I'm starting to feel it. I'm 33 now, and I'm just at the tip of the iceberg.
I got late 20s, early 30s. They're like telling me I'm feeling it now. I was going, you're feeling it now, man. Try turning 50. You'll start to feel some things, man.
Yeah.
But it's good to see that they're at least aware of it and they're speaking to other people, trying to figure it out.
For sure.
Because we know that classic image of a tradesperson in their 50s and 60s where they move slower and they have a hard
shoulders,
time.
Funny walk, the hips a little funny, can't raise your shoulders over that kind of 180 plane. Yeah.
They just didn't know or they didn't care to do anything about it at that younger age, and they constantly just kept on working.
Yeah, I think it was kind of cool to be tough and beat the shit out of yourself every day, right?
I know, but it's not these days.
We're getting a culture shift, and as we should. I think it's time to have one.
So I always ask all the plumbers, everybody else, like, why is Milwaukee's always so attached to plumbing, man? Like, you guys own packouts, you own all the gear. And I've joked that this show here is like, I don't even know why DeWalt's here. Makes no sense to have DeWalt here. Makes sense to have Milwaukee here.
I mean, I think there's a lot of tools that cater specifically
to plumbing.
To plumbing.
Mechanical and plumbing, right?
Yeah. So yeah. That's why we made the switch. I started off on DeWalt. I'm not knocking anything. They're all great, right? It's.
But you got a whole DeWalt setup for your plumbing?
No, we're all Milwaukee. Yeah, we're all Milwaukee.
So what'd you do with all the DeWalt stuff?
That stays at home in the garage. That's the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. And who was I talking to? I'm trying to remember. Someone was like, a plumber was telling me, he goes, yeah, I use it for the really dirty jobs.
Yeah.
I'll use my DeWalt drill or something like that, and I'll just do that nasty job with it because I really don't care about it, which is fine.
Yeah, I find they're robust enough for us. You know, batteries are great. They last long. The tools can take a beating. And, you know, that pack-out system, there's something to be said about that. We've invested a lot of money into the pack-out, and we love it.
Listen, even I got some pack-outs, man. Yeah, they make a lot of sense.
Yeah, DeWalt's got their own little pack-out.
They got like a T, I don't know what the hell it's called or something like that.
It looks good. It looks robust, but you know how it is. When you're with a system, you're just going to stick with it.
Pack-out just makes a lot of sense, right? I kind of feel, is Vic hanging around? He's just walking around.
I'm sure he's around.
He's just walking around. Yeah, I know, because we were only setting up two mics in the show here, and then it would have been getting, we'll get you guys back on the mic there and just talk, but this is your first time at the show. What are you looking for here?
I want to head over to the Rigid booth. I want to check them out. You know, obviously Rigid is another big plumbing brand, and we use quite a few Rigid tools. So seeing the new technologies that are coming out, getting a little bit of product info on that, that just helps us out when we get back on the tools.
And then you guys are just ambitious enough. You're going to start looking at bigger projects, start getting into different levels of construction, or?
Yeah, so honestly, you know, the 17-story that we're taking on right now, it's a pretty big project for us. So we'll see how that one goes. So far, it's been really successful. No complaints, and we're just going to keep the ball rolling.
Can you share a little bit of insight on how you were able to navigate that and secure that that job?
Yeah, so we ended up having... again, working in collaboration, we had someone who was approached to take on that job. The job was a little bit too big to manage solo as a crew, so we've done a collaboration with
them.
And coming from that high-rise experience, you know, we've got years working in that, both Vic and I, and we said, you know, let's bring that experience and expertise to your job site, and we've collaborated two companies together taking on this building.
That's a smart move.
Why not?
I've always asked that because I think it's a lot of people are a little nervous about collaboration.
Yeah.
I think that their thought process is they'll take my tricks and I'll lose some of my tricks and then I won't benefit. And I'm like, that's not the truth, man. I think you'll learn more and you'll actually benefit greatly.
Yeah, it's no different than working anywhere else. You just happen to fall into a company. So, you know, if you're working for Modern Water Solutions, you know, you happen to fall into Modern Water Solutions. But if you're working for Expert Plumbing and Drains, you know, that doesn't mean that you're a better or worse plumber. No. It's just where you ended up.
Yeah.
So when we get on site and we collab together, we all just look at it as one big team. We're one big family. We're all working together to get this building done.
I'd love for you to share a little bit of tips to the homeowners about what other things that they might be doing wrong in the house that they're not even aware of.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's still funny. I talk to mechanical guys, and I just don't understand how homeowners are still using 1-inch filters in their furnace. Like, I don't understand that at all.
Be conscious of what you're putting down your drains, right? We all know that the fats are really bad. Those flushable wipes are still a nightmare for us.
Oh,
we get calls every week
for flushable wipes. Trash is for. Like,
that's what trash is for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just think it's just like, yeah, it's disposable. Because that's marketing on the wipe companies, right?
Of course it is.
They just put that word, like, it's... Yeah. They put it on there.
Yeah, disposable. So we get calls for that all the time. The kitchen backups for the fats and greases that go down on there. That's never going to change. Rice going down the drain. But be conscious.
Who's putting rice down there?
Yeah, we find rice in the bottom of peat traps all the time.
Because I'm assuming, if you put rice down a drain, it wouldn't go past the peat trap.
Yep. We've had a couple of those ones. And then if you're seeing that white staining and white buildup on any of your appliances, whether it's your coffee maker, your kettle, pots and pans, you might consider a water test.
Yeah. Okay. And then eventually a softener. Will it eliminate it completely, or will it just help you not have to clean those fixtures as often, as frequently?
Yeah, if we can get your water down to zero, it will eliminate it completely.
Completely, yeah. Really, yeah?
Yep.
And that's possible?
For sure.
As long as you're doing the maintenance on a
You're doing the maintenance. And we test before and after. So if you've got... You know, let's say you're sitting at 20 for hardness. We'll see that on our reading. And after we've treated your water, we'll take another reading and make sure we've got you down to 0 or 1.
What's your area that you work in? How far do you go?
Cambridge and Brantford.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll branch out to Kitchener. And if we're doing larger custom homes, we'll do most of the GTA as well.
Okay.
But for service, primarily Cambridge and Brantford.
All right. Yeah. Anything else you want to share before we kind of wrap it up a bit?
No, just thanks for having me on.
No, thank you. It's been great to have you here and stopping by the booth here. And the folks at Doll have been great. And it looks like the show's been a little busier today than it was yesterday. I was here yesterday. And then you're going to walk the floor and bump into a bunch of people and start
talking
to them.
That's it. I'm running over to that rigid booth right now.
Nice, man. Yeah, okay, Brent. Will you share your deets again so everyone knows who we're talking to?
Yeah. So it's Modern Water Solutions, and you can find us on Instagram at Modern Water Solutions.
And then website, email?
It's www.modernwatersolutions.ca. It might be up right now. We're still working with the marketing company. They said it was going to be live. Yeah. Could be any day now.
So I one last question I'm curious about, because you're Trinidadian, Trini, and Portuguese.
Yeah.
What's Thanksgiving like, man?
Oh, it's wild. I mean, I love West Indian food. I grew up with my
grandmother. No, I love West Indian food, man.
Yeah,
seriously.
It's great. I try to spend as many holidays with my West Indian grandmother as I can, because the food just hits different, man.
I was imagining, I was going, yeah, man, that's actually got to be a nice mix, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be totally a nice mix, man. Yeah. So, all right. Thanks so much, Brandon. I really appreciate it, man.
Thanks
We're out of here.